Here we go. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for tonight. Father, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. God, we're hungry for more. And Father, tonight we just readjust our minds. We cast away the things that are distracting. We cast away the cares that came in with us, Father, and we just take these few moments to just be in your presence. God, we want all that you have. We want all that you want to do tonight. And Father, we are thankful. We are thankful that your Spirit is here and you are alive in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. I'm going to talk to you guys for a few minutes about some foundational stuff. I like foundational stuff because if your foundation isn't really strong, you're going to have problems down the road. I know that in like third world countries and stuff where they don't have strong building codes, sometimes a building will just like collapse. And what they found is when it came to pour the concrete or things like that, there had some errors in it, or there was some, the concrete didn't set correctly, and so the foundation wasn't strong, and everything that was built on top of it fell. So a lot of Christians kind of fall or come and go or go through a lot of trouble because they don't have foundational excellence. And so sometimes I like to talk about those things because I think they're so important. So in the Bible, God calls us Christians believers. Have you ever heard that term before, that you're a believer, right? So he talks about the believers in this church, talks about the believers in this city. And the reason why God calls you a believer in the Word of God is because you're supposed to believe something, okay? And you'd be really surprised how many Christians believe stuff, but they don't really believe the Word of God, because sometimes they don't know the Word of God, or they don't honor and respect God's Word, and they don't see it for what it is. So these are just very foundational things. So as a result, they're going to have a hard time with their faith, right? So I heard this story. If you guys don't know who Kenneth Hagin is, he was a teacher and he's a prophet, and now he's in heaven. But he has a lot of books out there, and when I was a new Christian, I came across some of his books. I was very happy for it because he taught the uncompromised Word of God, and it was just a real kind of bold message. And he had some visions in his ministry of the Lord. And so he had a sister who was between 45 and 55 years old, and she got cancer. And one time he was able to pray, and God healed her of that cancer, but another type of cancer came, okay? And so 5 years later, another cancer comes, and then no matter how much he prayed, she died anyways. And it really bothered him because he saw God move on his sister's behalf 5 years earlier and cure her of cancer. And now 5 years later, a different cancer comes, but she doesn't survive, she dies. And so he has a vision, and it's a vision, I don't know if he was brought to heaven or Jesus is talking to him, but he actually sees his sister in heaven. And talks to her, and she asks about her son and things like that, and kind of gets a heaven perspective. But he's also talking to Jesus. He has an open vision with Jesus and is talking to Jesus about it. And he's like, why after all this time did she die? You know, it was really bothering me. And he told him, the first time I allowed her to rest on your faith, and out of mercy I healed her, but I gave her 5 more years to get into the Word, to build up her own faith, to build up her own belief, to come against this, but she did nothing. She didn't listen to a tape, she didn't listen to a book, she didn't, you know, study, didn't show herself approved. So when this came back again, she had no faith and nothing to, she had no belief to stand against the storms of life. And I wasn't, at this point, I was not gonna let her off the hook and ride on someone else's faith. She had 5 years to build her own faith. Now listen, you guys, when you don't believe right or you don't have a good understanding of belief, when you come against troubles and stuff, there are a lot of people who just crumble. And we're like, wow, why did they cave in so easily? What happened? Well, usually it's their foundations. They don't have a strong belief. They don't have a strong faith. They don't have these strong things. And trust me, you guys, you want that. You want a strong faith, and it has its root in the Word of God. So we'll talk about some foundational stuff. Hopefully you're going to leave this place better in your spirit than when you came, as far as those things are concerned. So if you have a strong foundation, you can build high and big in your Word. So question to you, is what you believe important? Yes. Is it? I think so. And so as I talk to different Christians, when you just let someone talk, you'll find out what they believe. Okay, I'm not even talking about theology. I'm not talking about like theology. I'm just talking about the things they consume their minds with. If you let someone talk, the abundance of their heart will begin to come out. And so oftentimes it isn't like the Word of God. It's like, it could be like the latest, it could be the latest conspiracy. It could be the latest thing. You know, people get all caught up in these things. And when you begin to talk to them, they have such vigor and they're just so passionate and it pours out of them. And I'm like, whoa, they've given this some time. They've really dug into this, right? And so, I mean, what I would like to see is that same energy going into God's word, which produces eternal rewards. But, you know, we dig into other things and it forms our belief systems. Now, just so you guys know, I'm not a super huge conspiracy theorist advocate, okay? But it's for sound reasons, right? So if you told me, well, 9/11 actually didn't happen, the Holocaust didn't happen, the earth is flat, you know, all these things, my default thing is like, really? Like, because I'm not, so let's use this one. 9/11 didn't happen. None of the planes crashed, this and that. It's a conspiracy theory out there. There's just tons. There's a new one every day. And so for me, I'm just not sure of all the sources that inform this fact that it didn't happen. So I'm like, so where do they get the sources? Who are these people? Like, so someone will say, listen, this is what's happening in the government right now. And I'll be like, how do you know what's going on in the government right now? Like, do you know someone, like, personally, you called them up and they work, you know, they're like a mole in the president's office? Usually we don't. So it's like, it's a truth of a half-truth of a half-truth that kind of gets distilled over time. And it's, so to me, I'm just like, I'm not really sure of all the sources. I just don't know them, right? And so people mean well, but in the end, you have to somehow have a way to verify the sources. And I'm like, really, is it true? Like, if it's true, if you can't, are we 100% sure? But, you know, some people get into that. And I've seen really well-made documentaries, you guys. Well-made. There's liberal-leaning ones and there's conservative-leaning documentaries, and they're all made really well, right? And they can make anything seem like it's true. Okay, but in fact, it's not even true. What it is just the strong bias of the creator of that documentary making an argument, and their bias is so strong and it makes you believe it's true. So I have some relatives who watch lots and lots of Bigfoot documentaries. Does everyone know what Bigfoot is? Sasquatch, the giant hairy ape that lives in the woods, right? And so they talk about it. They're like, oh my goodness, do you believe in this? I'm just like, you know, I just don't know, right? My thing is like, I don't know, right? So my son, who is playing the drums tonight, I think he sent me this thing that they found a Bigfoot, a Sasquatch, frozen in ice, and they were gonna thaw him out live online and then do a DNA test on it. And so, like, oh my goodness, this is so exciting. Where's Michael? Is he in here? Do you remember that? Do you remember it? Oh, is he back there asleep? Oh, do you remember that, Michael? The Bigfoot online thawed in ice? Well, he was working for me at the time. So we weren't working that day. We were waiting for Bigfoot to thaw, right? But my thing was like, we'll see, right? Because I'm not... So other people are just, they were hyped. There's like 100,000 people watching this online, right? And so I'm like, and I'm also looking at my spirit. Holy Spirit, like, is this true, right? Because this is the spirit of truth, right? And we want to know. And I wasn't feeling. I'm like, you know what? Most likely this is not Bigfoot. But we'll see, because he's thawing out, right? So they're going to thaw him out, and they're going to do a DNA test. So it was this big thing. And what it was a Bigfoot suit with deer and other entrails, organs, stuffed in it. And when they did a DNA test, it was like forest animals stuck inside a fur suit. It wasn't Bigfoot, you guys. I'm so sorry. So still, he eludes us to this day. He mocks us and eludes us. He's out there, but we're still not able to get him. So anyways, I'm just like, I don't know, but I have friends who are just like, yes, Bigfoot is real. And does anyone know about the Bermuda Triangle? I mean, the Bridgewater Triangle? So the Bermuda Triangle is a set of coordinates that when planes would fly off the coast of Florida towards Bermuda or whatever, they would get into some type of trouble and sometimes disappear. So it happens so often they call it the Bermuda Triangle. But there's also a Bridgewater Triangle, you guys. It goes like from Bridgewater to Taunton to Lakeville, and there's like the thing. And there's like mythical creatures that live in the woods. And for some reason, where's Seth? Seth knows all about the Bridgewater Triangle. Is he here? Okay, so anyways, and so we were mountain biking in the Bridgewater Triangle, and he was pointing out, Seth, how you doing? Bridgewater Triangle, it's all about you, my man. So we're mountain biking through the Bridgewater Triangle. He's like, this is the Bridgewater Triangle. And we would see like reeds and tall grass all flattened by something. It's where the deer sleep at night. They just flatten everything. And he's like, yeah, this is probably a creature right here. He's messing around with me, but he just knew way too much about all the creatures in the Bridgewater Triangle. So again, I know people who actually believe that there's stuff in the Bridgewater Triangle. For me, I don't know. I have no good sources. Is it true? I don't know. I don't know, right? Like, who knows? So, at the very best, right? At the very best, believing in all types of conspiracy things and paranoia things and stuff can really cause a type of paranoia that can be crippling in your mind, because what it does, there's this underlying anxiety that just haunts you and never lets you rest. Because you're always worried, like, this one's out to get us, this one is going on, the whole government is doing this and this. So we gotta be careful about what we're doing with fear. Now, I do have some scriptures, you guys. Check this out. Isaiah 8 says this, verse 11. For the Lord spake thus unto me with his strong hand upon me, and he warned me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. God commands us not to get in fear, not to get in anxiety, not to believe things that can't be proven as true. 2 Timothy 6 says this, Timothy, guard what God has entrusted to you. Avoid godless, foolish discussions with those who oppose you with their so-called knowledge. Some people have wandered from the faith by following such foolishness. Listen, they've wandered from the faith. We have the truth of the Word of God, the rock of God, and people, because of getting caught up in old wives' tales, the Bible says, and foolishness, can sometimes leave the faith because their belief in things that are maybe not true is stronger than their belief in the Word of God. So what we do is we consume all this content on stuff when we should be consuming God's Word, because when trial comes, we need to know that we need to have something in us that is truth, right? But often we fill it with other stuff, okay? So what is truth? What is truth, right? So Jesus stands before Pilate, and he's being crucified. Before he's crucified, and Jesus said, everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And Pilate answers, what is truth? Right? That's a good question. What is truth? Because if there is truth, an absolute truth, we want to know what that is. Okay? We have to understand what that is, because there's so much distraction in the world, it's best if we cling tight to that rock of the truth. Everyone say this with me. God's word is truth. Say it again. God's word is truth. Let me talk a little bit about this with you right now. God puts himself equal to the word and equal with Jesus all in one scripture. He says, my word and me and Jesus are one. They can't be separated. They can't be broken apart. They are one. So I'm going to read this to you guys. Read along with me up here. 1 John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. What was it, guys? Word. God's Word. God's Word, which was breathed out of his mouth, which was proclaimed out of his mouth. In the beginning was the Word. The beginning, you guys. Like when it all started. the beginning. Right at that moment was his word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. God goes ahead and positions that him and his word are equal. They can't be separated. They are equal in their authority and what they are. God does not separate himself from his word. And then it goes on to say he, and when it's talking about he, we'll see that this is the Christ, this is Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, Christ, Jesus. Check that out, you guys. Jesus was involved in creation in the beginning. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Nothing was made without Jesus. We had God, the Word, and Jesus in the beginning when everything was made. In him, Jesus, was the life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about that light. Now, that light is Jesus, okay? He came to bear witness about Jesus, about that light, that all might believe through him. He was not that light. He wasn't Jesus, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was come into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Jesus was involved, whether you know this or not, in the creation. All creation was made. He had a part of it. And it says he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people, the Jews, rejected him. Okay? So we have God, we have the Word, we have Jesus, all one together. It says here in Isaiah 40, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand for how long, you guys? Forever. The word of our God shall stand forever. Will God himself stand forever? Yes. He preexists everything, and he'll be for eternity God who is king of all the heavens. But as God is that in nature, so is his word. His word is eternal as well, and it never, ever will go away. Matthew 24, 35 says this, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. God's words are eternal. If you want to believe something, if you want to believe something of truth, you need to cling onto God's words. They're eternal. It is literally God himself. When you approach the word, you do it with reverence and honor, okay? You don't, like, worship your Bible, like, oh, this is a holy thing. But the words, once those words come into a human's heart, there is transformation because eternal life enters in through those words. We need to have reverence and honor and say, Father, this is your word. Give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. How does that happen? His word becomes alive to us. We need to prioritize the word a lot more because God and his word are one. They are eternal and they will never go away. They are a sure foundation. Now listen, you guys. Fashion comes and goes. Mike, am I right? Fashion comes and goes every season. Right as you're getting the discount rack buying the latest thing, it's already out of style, right? So how do you keep up? How do you keep up? You spend a lot of money, right? But fashion comes and goes, right? So don't seasons come and go. Is anyone mourning the loss of our dear summer that is just kind of closing up here, you know, as we're going? Well, whatever, I am, okay? So I love the summertime. I love the My kids are like, oh, I can't wait for winter. I'm like, what are you talking about? You just stay inside the whole day. You can't play. You can't go outside. You can't do this stuff. And then they went through a winter, and they're like, oh, I don't like the winter. I don't like the winter. It's not fun. But fashion comes and goes. Seasons come and go. Even people's lives come and go. Who you think, there's a movie about Elvis, if you guys don't know who Elvis is. But literally, he was on the scene in popularity for 25 years. And he did a lot in 25 years, but then he's gone. He's gone into eternity. Even people come and go. Guys, listen, even countries and nations come and they go. The Bible says even the heavens and the earth will pass away, but God's word is eternal. It abides forever. It will never pass away. It will never pass away. It will never pass away. Ever, ever, ever. If I'm going to throw my belief into something, I am clinging on to that word that never changes, that is eternal, that is in the heavens. I am going to cling to that because this is truth. This is something that has a sure foundation that's not going to shift and be, you know, something that is unworthy of it. Forever settled in heaven, Psalm 119:89 says, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. It's forever settled." Just like God is firm in the heavens, his word is also. Gosh, how do you prioritize the word? Number one, you have to make time for God's word. You really do. You have to figure that out, okay? The more that you can put God's word first in your day, I think the more successful you will be in consuming God's word. But for me, like I would have this confession. I would just say, "Father, I am starving for your word." Even if I wasn't, I would just say, "God, I am so hungry for your word. I am starving for your word." I would speak those things that be not as though they were, and it would just create this spiritual appetite in me. Because the spiritual mind is different. Sometimes if you're really carnal, you don't have that spiritual mind. And I would carry a little Bible on me. This is back in the day. And it was like a Gideon little green Bible that they gave away at the colleges. And so I'd have it. And every time I had some downtime, I would pull out my Bible. And I would just eat that word of God. Jesus said that that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And if you reverence God's word, you'll realize that it's like food for your spirit. It's like, God, I'm just so hungry for your word. And as you come in that way, God begins to give you revelation in his word. That word begins to become alive. It is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the soul and spirit. So as we come with that hunger and that thirst after God's word, that eternity that is in that word begins to jump out in your spirit. Amen. How many people pray that prayer, "God, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you"? These are the Ephesians and the Colossians prayer. You need to pray that because God doesn't want you to get information from the word. God is not concerned that you get information from the Bible. He is concerned that you get revelation from the Bible. It needs to be alive to you. This needs to be something that just jumps in your spirit and transforms your mind and how you think. Amen? Say this again. What is truth? What is truth? Psalm 119:160 says, "The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever." John 17, "Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth." Okay, so now this is why I want you to see. Am I really big on all the latest conspiracy or the latest thing, this and that? Usually not. I cannot validate the sources. I'll just be like, I don't know. But God's word, yes, this is truth. This is God's word, okay? This is something that I'm going to put all my stock in. I'm going to put my life in this. I'm going to put my family's life in this. I'm going to put my kids' life in this. We are going to lean and trust in God's word. If I'm trusting in his word, I'm trusting in him. All right? You can't say I'm trusting God if you're not trusting in the word, right? You can't say I'm believing God for something if you're not standing on a scripture. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So it's like, I'm believing God for this. That's awesome. What scripture? What truth are you holding on to? I don't know. I'm just believing God, right? We need to take that effort to go into Google just for a second and say, healing scriptures, Bible. That's all you got to do. And you'll get tons of them. And then one or two of those might just really jump out at you. And you need to confess them. Let me give you an example, okay? Many years ago, there's a scripture in Proverbs that says, "Lean not unto your own understanding, but trust the Lord in all things, and he shall direct your paths," right? So I'm like, that's a cool scripture. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. So I'm like, I want to get that in me. Like, it's like good here, but I want it in my heart, right? I want to not lean into my own understanding. I want to trust God and everything. So I wrote it on a little piece of paper and I stuck it in my car, okay? And I had it on my dashboard. And then every time I thought or looked at it, I would go ahead and read that scripture, like out loud. Lean not unto your own understanding. So it was like God saying, don't always try to figure out things with your head. Okay, lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge me, meaning like, God, in this situation, I acknowledge you in this situation. Father, I need your help. And he shall direct your path. So I remember I was driving with a friend, and we were heading to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we were going to a camp meeting, a spiritual meeting, and my car broke down in Ohio. And it was like a really new car, right? And so it's late on, what it did is it just threw a belt, and it was a serpentine belt, and it was a big belt, and I started to overheat. So we come off the highway, and we're in the middle of nowhere, and so I make some calls to like a Ford dealer and things like that, and it's late Saturday afternoon, and no one's open, okay? So I'm just like, gee, what do we do, right? And so we look at that scripture on my dashboard, and I said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do this scripture. We're not going to lean into our own understanding. In all our ways, we're going to acknowledge God, and we're going to let him direct our paths. So we said, Father, we don't know what to do here, but we do know who to turn to. And so, Father, we're going to just turn this over to you. Father, we pray right now that you make this work out for our good, that we don't miss this camp meeting, that things happen. Yada, yada. In Jesus' name, amen. And we just gave it to God. We began to trust in him. What we were doing, you guys, we were like Peter, who stepped out of the boat when Jesus said what? Come. That was a word. Jesus said, come. If Jesus says, come to him on the water, do you know what that means? You could come on the water. He had a word. So Peter stepped out in the boat, and that's what we were doing. We were stepping out on the word, but it had foundation under us, okay? And it was a really cool weekend. So no one was going to repair our car till Monday morning. So we called the dealers, everything. We're like, okay, I guess we're stuck in Ohio for the weekend. God, whatever you want to do, let's make the best of it. So there was like a car dealer, or they towed my car, and there was like a little hotel there. And right behind the hotel, there was a church. I don't know what kind of church it was, but we're like, early the next day, Sunday morning, we're like, what do you do on Sunday morning? You go to church. So we went to church, and we're in this small church, and we're just worshiping with everyone, and people are coming up to us and talking to us. And we were from New England, okay? And back then, I had more of a New England accent, right? Like, you talk, like, without pronouncing your R's and stuff, right? And so people, and we had long hair, we were like musicians back then, and they were like, are you guys, like, rock stars from England? And we were, like, confused. What? Why England? What are you talking about? It was the way we talked. We didn't pronounce our R's, okay? And so the church takes up an offering for us. They give us an offering, right? We have all this money. My car's in the shop. Early Monday morning, the first thing they do, they put a new belt on it by like 9 o'clock. We're back on the road, and we get to the camp meeting that night, and we're able to attend the night service. We're like, God, you couldn't have made that better. It was so, we got to go to church. They gave us money. We got in the car. They gave us money. Like, to young kids, that was cool, right? But we couldn't have figured that out ourselves. It was God directing our paths. We gave it to him. So we need to cling onto that word of God. We need to have a scripture when we're going through something, when we're facing something, because that's truth. God will back up his word. God will see that his word comes to pass. Hebrews 6:18 says this, so God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Impossible, okay? Listen, guys, God does not have truth. God is truth. And what you is, you can't be something else. So if you are truth, if you are holiness, if you are purity and love, you can't lie. And if God tells me something in his word, and it's impossible for him to lie. That's the truth I'm holding on to. That's where I'm hanging my hat, right there, with that one, okay? Every day, all day. And I'll tell you something, it pays you dividends. It pays you dividends when you trust in God. It pays you when you do that. Now listen, I've read this before. 2 Chronicles 16 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him." When you trust and you cling to his word, that means you are being loyal to him, to his word, and he's looking for that. Who's trusting in me? Who's trusting in me? And so a lot of us aren't trusting in God. We're not clinging on to a word. We're just like, yeah, I believe it's just passé, right? But there are some who are clinging on, and God's eyes stop over them and say, ah, that's who I'm going to show myself strong on behalf of. I'm just searching the whole world. Why shouldn't that be you? Why shouldn't you be the one that gets God's attention? You guys know the woman with the issue of blood? She said in the Bible, she said, if I just touch Jesus' hem, I shall be healed. And she went up and she touched it. And Jesus had nothing to do with that miracle. He said he felt power go out of him, pulled out of him, right? Because she believed, if I shall touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed, okay? God wants the same thing. He wants to look throughout the whole earth and find those who have faith, who are trusting in his word. How many people honor and reverence God's word? Yeah? Foundational stuff, but if you don't get this stuff, like this 101 stuff, forget about it. Don't worry about your first floor, your jacuzzi, the siding on your house, what kind of roof you have, the deck you're going to put on back, the skylights that go on top, the beautiful brickwork. You got to work on the foundation. If you don't have this, everything else topples over when trouble comes. Everything. We need to put a priority on his word. Now listen, the enemy will score his greatest blow if he can get you to doubt God by doubting his word. And trust me, you guys, there is a full attack on the word of God by the enemy. The enemy is trying to put doubt in the mind of the world about God's word. And if he can bring doubt in God's word, then people will not begin to trust the validity of the truth of the word, and then they'll pull away from the word and not benefit from its power. Now listen, There are little kids in school now who have to deal with issues that challenge the Bible's authority. When you get to college, you definitely get teachers who will challenge the Bible's authority. They'll bring out all these wisdom and different things, and they'll outright, you know, maybe in an atheistic way, begin to degrade and put down God's word. And as a young person, you need to know how to stand against that. But you know, it even shows up in social media. It shows up on TV shows. It's the plot lines. It's the storylines of these shows that do things that are against God's word, and they're just trying to get that into you. They're just trying to feed it into your spirit. And you need to be wise enough to know that, you know what, God's word says this, but the storyline in this show is saying the opposite. I don't need to plant these seeds in me. I don't need doubt over God's word. I'm just going to shut this off and move on to something else. Everything's on demand. I don't need to watch this. I can watch something else. And you need to be careful because it's subtle. The devil is trying to disqualify God's word and put doubt in your heart. Because if you can get doubt in your heart towards God's word, you're ruined. I am not over-exaggerating when I say that. If he can put doubt in your heart about God's word being eternal, being the truth, being the power of God, then you are ruined as a Christian. You don't have any other tricks in your bat belt, right? Nothing. If he can put doubt in your head against God's word, you're gone. You're gone. So let me even say this. God's word is very specific about sexuality. It's very specific. God wants us to live in purity. God does not want us to do certain things outside of the covenant of marriage. and sexual purity. But if you know that's what God's word says, and then you watch storylines of shows that are all sexually perverse and mixed up, that's going to get in you, and you're going to be able to start to say, well, did God really mean this about sexuality? Maybe this has another meaning, and you get confused, right? You need to be careful. You need to be careful of what you ingest, because ultimately it's just Satan's ploy to come against the authority of the word, okay? Sometimes I just don't get everything, right? I'm just like, well, you know, I don't know, but I'm just going to side with God's word. I'm just going to stand over here. I'm just going to stay in the safety of the truth. I'm going to stay in the safety of the eternalness, the eternal nature of God's word. And even if I don't know how this whole debate turns out, I'm just siding with God from the start, okay? I don't know how to handle this right now. I don't even know what to say about it. But I'll start by siding with God, because I don't want to get doubt in my heart, okay? Because all faith comes from the word. So then faith, Romans 10 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But if you get doubt in your heart, it will kill your faith. It will kill your faith. So we need to stand strong against the attack of God's word. Here's the last thing. This is where I'm going to end you guys. Our music team can come back up and get ready. We're going to worship. God's word, and this is super powerful, you guys. God's word is a seed for eternal life. God's word is the seed for eternal life. If we look here in 1 Peter, read this with me, you guys. 1 Peter 1. For you have been born again. There's that word again, born again. Born again shows up a lot in the Bible. Born again is a spiritual rebirth that happens on the inside. It is something that is absolutely very necessary, okay? Very necessary. A new birth on the inside. It says, for you have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God. Which word have you been born again through? God's word. God's word. God's word, the gospel, came to us. And when that gospel came to us, it was a seed that brought eternal life, that we can believe God and receive eternal life. It says, for all flesh is like grass, and its glory is like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. The word of the Lord endures forever. If you can get a society to doubt the word of God, to doubt the validity, to have a doubt instead of a faith in God's word, then the born-again experience begins to cease. Because we need faith to believe God's word, what he said about being saved. But if people have doubt in God's word, then you're going to see less people begin to be saved, which is the enemy's ploy. And so we need to be careful about doubt, and we need to be strong in our faith, and we need to be strong in our commitment to the word of God. Because, listen, you guys, you live in a crazy period of time where right is wrong and wrong is right, and all your authority figures tell you wrong is right, and you have to sometimes stand against the president and then the vice president and then the speaker of the house and the Congress and your local congressman and your school superintendent and the principal of the school and the teachers of the school and the union of the school. Everyone in authority is against you. But we still have to stand strong against God's word, because our world is turning upside down. And they have no compass. They have no compass. Here's the thing. In wickedness, they believe everything. They believe everything. And when you believe everything, you actually believe nothing. Because if you believe everything, you believe every fairy tale, everything, or, you know, with this and that, alternate reality, like whatever you want to do. But we believe the word of God, which is eternal and true. Amen? So we need to stand in this place in God's word and know that you're going to be pushing against the whole world sometimes, but you're not alone. You are with God. Amen? Let me pray for you guys. Do I have my people? No, they all went on a trip, you guys. They're here? Okay, they'll take their time. I'll entertain you in the meantime. Father, in Jesus' name, let's stand up. I do encourage you guys. We're gonna go ahead and enter into worship, and I'm gonna invite you guys to come and to worship down here with us. We want to enter into the Spirit. We want to take some time and just minister to God and just wait in His presence. Amen. The good thing about Sunday night, we do not have to get in a hurry about worship. We can go ahead and minister to Him. Amen. Delvin, if you can grab that. Pray this with me, you guys. Let's make a consecration to God and His Word, okay? I'm just going to pray, and you guys can repeat it with me, but do it from your heart, okay? Let's just pray. Let's bow our heads. Say this with me. Dear God, I believe that Your Word is truth. Father, I make a new commitment to lean into Your truth, to lean into Your Word, to get to know You through Your Word. And Father, I pray for a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation in the knowledge of You. Father, I confess that I am starving for Your Word. God, You said, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Guys, we're going to go ahead and worship. I invite you guys to come on down. Let's all come down. Let's get used to coming down. Don't feel awkward. Don't feel odd. Let's just press into the things of God. Amen? We're going to go ahead and have a time in the Holy Spirit. We're going to go ahead and minister to Him. But this is a place, when you come to the altar, this is a place where you can meet God. If you can shut out what's around you, if you can press in, amen? Let's just worship. What song do you guys have? Firm Foundation. Oh, God's Word is a firm foundation. Yes. Let's worship, you guys.